Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 16th day of October 2015. It's World Food Day. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Mike will stay with us for the second half hour of our program on many of these radio stations for Commodity Week. Our special guest today, by the way, is Dr. Michael Cordonnier of Soybean and Corn Advisors out of Hinsdale, Illinois. It was a great program already up on the website at willag.org, but stay with us for the whole hour this afternoon if you can to hear that program. In the first half hour, we'll continue along and take a look at cash grain market with the folks out at the Andersons in Everly, Iowa, and the weather forecast. That with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hear what the numbers finished up like in Chicago at the CME Group today. December contract, a penny and a quarter higher in the corn pit at $3.76¾. The March at $3.87¾, up one and a quarter. And July futures at $3.99¼, a penny and a half higher. December contract at $4.04½, three quarters higher. Soy complex down. Futures were lower, 7 cents in the November contract at $8.98¼. January at $9.02, also down 7. The March down 6¾. May down 6½. July at $9.15, down 7. And November of next year at $9.02½, 5¾ lower. Bean meal down $2 at $312. The bean oil up 2 cents at $28.60. Soft red winter wheat futures 10¼ cents lower at $4.92¼. July at $5.08½, down 10¼. And the July hard red down 12¼ at $5.18¼. $5.18½. Live cattle futures are currently locked up. The limit $3 higher at $135.95. December at $139.55, also the limit higher. October feeders up $3.85 at $193.62½. And the November contract up $4.10 at $190. December lean hogs $1.35 higher at $65.47½. February at $68.35, that's 77½ cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Visit us online where at willag.org, of course.
Support for WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Hey, have you gone to our website yet and checked out the willag.org link to the Farm Assets Conference, or just straight over to the Farm Assets Conference website at farmassetsconference.com? I hope you do really soon. Check out all the things we'll be doing November the 24th for our second annual event. This is a signature event. If you weren't there last year, you should most assuredly go this year. Just $30 for the cost. We'll be taking up big data and take a look at water regulation and runoff, along with our regular set of panelists. We'll talk about the land values and farm assets, all at our Farm Assets Conference, $30 in Normal, Illinois, on the 24th day of November at the Marriott Hotel. This is a great conference center. If you haven't signed up yet, get your ticket today. You can do that at willag.org or at farmassetsconference.com. A couple of special folks that will be on hand for our panelists include Mike Zuzulo, who you will hear in just a moment, and Sue Martin, all worth the time and the effort to go visit that website and pick up your ticket. Let's take up some of the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil now is trading 99 cents higher per barrel at $47.36. Ethanol at $1.52½. That's 0.3 cents higher. The wholesale price of gasoline, the RBOB, up 2 cents at $1.32¢. And heating oil or diesel fuel today at $1.49¢. That's a penny higher. Natural gas, $2.43. Down 2¢. And on the outside markets, the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 17,080 points, just about 11 points higher for this afternoon.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's Friday afternoon, October the 16th. Hope you're having a great World Food Day. We are here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, and I am really positive that Mike Zuzulo out at Atchison, Kansas, in the Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting head office is having a really good day, too. Is that right, Mike?
It's always good on Friday, Tom.
It is always good on Friday. That is absolutely true. Hey, speaking of good on Friday, can you tell me what's up in the livestock for the day? Their prices have rallied up to the point where they just can't go any higher.
Well, you're at a point now where I think the technicals are like similar to the grains, really, are taking over here more and more. Packer margins are huge right now, and what I mean by that is at one point this week, they were quoted by Hedger's Edge at almost $120 a head. I think this morning they were running around $86 a head. I think the trade sees the cash market probably developing much better for the cattle versus the hogs because the hog numbers are coming up. We came in with a 2.3 million head or better kill this week. The USDA just reported that. So I think the trade saw the technicals develop in the cattle. And I think, quite frankly, similar to the corn bean spreading, we saw the reignition of buying cattle and selling hogs. In fact, if you look at the December cattle, they had their best close since September 22nd, while December hogs had their worst close since October 8th. And around 200 contracts were in the buy order pool on my CQG trader. Todd, I don't know if those are real buy orders or not, but that's the best number I can give you right now. But really nice looking day and a nice way to close the week with that 40-day moving average and 50-day moving average now being tested as we go into Monday.
I was under the impression that the beef cattle folks had finally decided to expand the marketplace, especially after Texas had gotten some rain and the pasture started to green up. Are we looking towards lower prices further down the road?
I don't think we're looking at lower prices. I think we're looking at a trading range market. I think the expansion, and this is where it's surprised me quite a bit, and it goes back to our morning conversation about the feed and residual numbers. We're 25 pounds higher than we were last year at this time in dressed cattle weights. That is huge, and I've talked to some guys that have come in this week to the office, some trading down near Mexico, some trading down here locally. And you're hearing about 15, 16, 17, even 1,800-pound steers that are coming to market right now. And so I think the real expansion's been in the weights, not necessarily the numbers. Yes, they want to expand, but I don't think they want to expand in the number of head. They want to put the weight on. And so I think that's going to keep us limited on the upside, but by the same token, I think the number of head and the beef demand coming up with cheaper gas prices and cheaper fuel prices are going to keep us from falling too much. I think the trade also, and you can't say this for hogs, even though the pork export sales were very, very strong this week, reported this morning, beef sales were up 69% from last week, up 23% from the prior four-week average. These numbers across the board, whether you're looking at wheat, corn, pork, or beef, all of them, and even the soybeans, all registering very strong gains versus the prior week or the four-week average. And I would attribute that some to the dollar as well.
Okay, so if the beef cattle expansion is also putting on heavier weights, wouldn't that mean that they should be, as long as they're just not unpastured, that when they're finishing, they'll be consuming a whole lot more corn? Those last few pounds, actually fast few hundred pounds, it appears, can't be that easy to put back on.
That's exactly right. And I think this is where it goes back to the cattle guy needs to really watch what the futures market's doing versus the cash price in his local area for corn. Because if you're, say, in El Paso, Illinois, versus Atchison, Kansas, you could have a substantially different break-even level for feeding out at a feedlot or feeding your own corn for that matter. And so this is where the higher the cash corn price goes, I think those weights will come down substantially and rather quickly, especially as we get into the wintertime months.
Okay, now turn your attention directly to the grains market. Not a very good day for the soybeans, down 7 cents.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, we still closed up 12 and a half, but we just got news that both the big supply side features that were causing the short covering and the fresh buying earlier in the week just came in and just shut the market down, essentially, and that is Mato Grosso's planting went from 6% to 14% this week. They're now ahead of last year at this time, and we're also seeing more rain in the 10-day model maps for Mato Grosso. And so while we worked the beans higher against the corn most of this week, and especially after the USDA report, we noted that once we got up to about 2.43 on that bean-corn ratio, we started to unwind that spread. Now, I think that's why the corn was up a penny and a quarter. Beans were down 7. And on the week, we still kept the bean premium up about 12 and a half on November for the week, down 6 in December corn.
How did the trade in, I suspect you saw them, take the Informa numbers that were released earlier today?
I don't think they're taking them at too much face value.
Yeah.
In other words, I think they see what you and I are seeing in terms of what producers are saying, both in South America and here in the United States. How can you get higher corn acres when you're looking at corn prices where you're at right now in both hemispheres? So I didn't see too much reaction. I saw a lot more reaction when the Brazilian information came out, and I think I saw a lot more reaction when we saw the wheat market and the hard red wheat leading the market lower on a lot better rain forecast in the next 10 days in Kansas, eastern Colorado, Oklahoma, and southern Nebraska, essentially 80% of the hard red wheat belt.
Crop progress reports are due out Monday afternoon. Everything will be further along than 50%, but by how much for corn?
I think it'll be a little bit more than the trade is expecting. I wouldn't be surprised to see 65 or maybe even 66%, just because I think maybe we were a little bit slow from the holiday in terms of what they posted this week. I got more and more calls today from clients wanting to dump some corn out because they were finishing out and they'd filled up their on-farm storage. And that's pretty much everywhere that I'm talking to, whether it's here in eastern Kansas or back towards central Illinois. I know the Ohio guys, I talked to an elevator client there by Toledo. They're just wrapping up beans and just now getting started on corn. But I think you've got a very fast pace with this weather, and I would look for maybe 65, 66% next week.
Tell me about the outside markets. Dollar in particular, you've been watching, I suppose.
Yeah, everything went into a trading range when it came to the gold market, the copper market, and the dollar. And I was starting to wonder what is going on here, because the crude oil kind of had a life of its own with what's going on in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And then it dawned on me that China will be coming out with their third quarter GDP number on Monday. And I think everybody started to pull back a little bit and wanted to kind of flatten their positions out, because that's going to be a big number. Are they going to be able to come in and miss? How much will they miss the 7% real GDP growth? It's not a question of whether they're going to make it. The question is, how much will they miss it? I think most of the trade's thinking it's going to come in around 6.7, 6.8%. They will probably tolerate that number and say that's a good enough number. But if China's statisticians try and push it over 7%, I don't think the market's going to buy it at all.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Have a great weekend.
You too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Stay with us. We'll talk a little bit about cash rents coming up. Gary Schnitke has one more story. He says only one more for the year, but you probably ought to listen to that one. News is coming up as well. And in the mean space, you can always visit our website and catch up on all the details of many of these items. And you can buy your ticket to the Farm Assets Conference, too. That's coming up the 24th day of November. This is a brand new signature event for us on the second year now. We're the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and we'll take up, you can just visit the Farm Assets Conference website and find out all the details, or go to willag.org and buy your tickets right now today. In today's agricultural news, we discussed this about a month and a half ago, but the time has now come. USDA is blaming the GOP-led across-the-board budget cuts or sequestration for the uncertainty. surrounding the timing of new farm payments. There's finger pointing over the timing of the ARC and PLC payments. Senate Ag Chair Pat Roberts asked USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack in a letter when payments due after October 1st would be made, arguing the lack of predictability is raising concern among producers. The Farm Service Agency, denying interviews, says in a written statement that the payment uncertainty is caused by the GOP-led sequestration, forcing USDA to cut ARC and PLC payments by 6.8%. National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson, whose group tends to side with the left, says there's some truth to the sequestration argument since two fiscal years are involved.
One year was going to be one number and a different year a different number, and that would have got terribly complicated. They finally got that resolved, I think, with the lawyers and determined that they could use the 6.8 number for all payments. So I suspect that there's some truth to the fact that that delayed the process.
Johnson says he's now hearing the checks will go out in the second half of this month, calling that an accomplishment, especially, he says, considering the archaic computers at USDA. Well, on that happy note, on this World Food Day, let's move to another not-so-happy note. The Creighton University Rural Main Street Index for October fell from September, along with a drop in the Farmland and Ranchland Price Index for October. The Rural Main Street Index, which ranges between 0 and 100, sank to 44.4 from September's 49 even, and well below August growth of neutral 50 reading. Ernie Goss, who oversees the survey at Creighton University, says this is the third straight month of decline, reflecting weakness stemming from lower agricultural and energy commodity prices. The Farmland and Ranchland Price Index for October fell to 31 from 35.5 in September. That's the 23rd straight month the index has moved below the neutral growth mark. Bankers reported on the level of cash rents for farmland. On average, yearly cash rents across the region were $229 an acre, well below rents reported 6 months ago. Further, the October Farm Equipment Sales Index slumped to a record low of 10.8 from September's anemic 14.2. Oh, let's just stay in the bad news area. A study by U.S. intelligence agencies concludes food scarcity among countries important to the United States. That's likely to rise in the next decade, risking social and political unrest. The study released this week pointed towards climate change and extreme weather among the threats to food availability in key countries in coming years. The analysis was led by a group within the Office of the Director of National Intelligence and written largely by the CIA. The study claims that simply growing more food will not result in more food-secure countries. Instead, the study suggested innovative but lesser-used strategies such as reducing waste, having people earn incomes off the farm, and teaching them about technical developments in agriculture. The report called on the U.S. to assist on those efforts by sharing research and technology. And finally today, Syngenta has warned a slowdown in Latin America and the stronger dollar will erode its 2015 earnings. Bloomberg reports revenue fell 12% in the third quarter to $2.6 billion for the company that balked at a takeover approach from Monsanto earlier this year. Sales were hurt by low commodity prices in Brazil and tight credit in Argentina. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. It's very difficult to give up a farm, even one that's losing money, because the cash rent's too high. Here are a few simple guidelines one might follow to help make that decision. Those farmers thinking they can withstand a loss on a farm next year because the cash rent's too high should put things in a long-term perspective to see if it's a viable strategy. First and foremost, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Gary Schnittke, realistic expectations of future returns should be used.
It is about long-run prices, and it's been suggested that 460 corn and 1060 soybeans are about where we will be at in the long run. So some years we'll be above that, some years below that. But if we are looking at our cash rent levels and plug in 460 corn, 1060 soybeans, and we have losses or small gains there, then you have to question whether those long-run rents are sustainable, and if they aren't, lower those rents.
Here's the thing about using the long-run corn and soybean midpoint prices. Those are calculated for 30 years' worth of trade. USDA's price outlook through 2020 doesn't even get close. It's a lot more like current prices, and that's a whole different set of expectations. Even if you thought, just one more year, and the cash rent will come down to a more reasonable level. That might not be the case.
At our long-run prices, $4.60 for corn, $10.60 for soybeans, sort of a cash rent that would be appropriate for central Illinois would be something in the $2.50 per acre range. That cash rent would generate a loss at the budgeted prices that we're using for 2016, which are $3.90 for corn and $8.90 for soybeans. So if we're at those prices, even a $2.50 cash rent will cause losses, and you would have to have rents below $220 per acre in central Illinois. Obviously, that's at a very high expected yield level compared to other parts of the Corn Belt.
Even if a farmer believes the University of Illinois long-run prices of $4.60 corn and $10.60 soybeans are accurate, there could be a relatively long period in which prices are below the long-run average. These risks suggest using a variable cash rent lease might be the best answer.
Variable cash leases vary their payments based on revenue, and there's a base cash rent, and if revenues go above a specified level, the landlord will get more return. That's a good idea in this time where we're looking at low prices, but, you know, things happen in agriculture and it allows the landowner to also share in the upside.
You can read more about the risk of high cash rent farmland and variable rate leases on the FarmDoc Daily website. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Andy Schaefer at the Andersons is awfully busy for the day there in his part of the world where they're really in the midst of corn harvest as opposed to starting to wrap it up as we are here in the Urbana-Champaign area. Sunny skies, by the way, and 60 degrees today. Kind of a change in the weather forecast. It's going to get really cool this evening. Dropping all the way down to 29 with rides. Widespread frost. That'll come after 1 a.m. on a northwest wind at 6 to 8 miles an hour, and then we'll move up to 54 degrees for our high tomorrow. Not very warm. Northwest winds at 6 to 10 Saturday night. Again, more widespread raw frost. Otherwise clear. A low of 29 on Saturday evening. Sunday we'll start the day with that frost and then move to 60 degrees. Calm winds out of south-southwest by then. We'll still drop to a low of 39 degrees on Sunday night, and Monday get to a sunny high of 68 degrees. Monday night, clear and 48. A couple of other items. Please do visit our website at willag.org. And if you'd like to buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference, you can do that right now and see all of the details about the conference, where it is at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Normal, Illinois, and the cost, $30, of course, and what's on the agenda at farmassetsconference.com. Big data's on the agenda. We'll talk about how the sensors in your combines and your planters, the GPS units, all work together to bring data into whatever system you're using. John Jansen will be there. He's with Climate Ag Services. That's Climate Corp. It's owned by Monsanto, of course. If you use FieldView, he's the guy that's in charge of some of that. And he'll talk about where that goes, what happens to it, who owns it, how it's used, how it's aggregated, and how it all gets back to you. Big data, it's a big deal. So you probably ought to sign up for that $30 conference. Should be a great one at farmassetsconference.com. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll take a look at the weather forecast. That with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey. He's at the Prairie Research Institute right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
It's World Food Day. It was established by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations in November of 1979. Since 1983, an annual theme has been selected to provide a common focus for World Food Day activities. Agricultural themes in the past have included women in agriculture, small farmers, and agriculture and intercultural dialogue. It's also St. Gall's Feast Day, patron of geese and poultry. On this day in agricultural history in 1873, Herbert Calhoun Reed was born. An American chemist, he was known internationally as a consultant to the leather industry. He was one of a small group of leather industry chemists that founded the American Leather Chemists Association to establish reliable methods to determine the quality of materials used in leather manufacture. In 1939, sugar rationing began in the Netherlands. And in 1945, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization came into existence. And that's this day in agricultural history.
It's a Friday afternoon, the 16th day of October. Hope you're having a great day getting ready for the weekend. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Take time when you get the opportunity to visit our website at willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, including a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter. All of the information you hear on the air, sometimes posted there before it ever gets to the radio stations. It's kind of like Commodity Week, which is coming up, by the way, after this segment on the weather. And you'll find a way to buy your tickets for our Farm Assets Conference. This is the second annual event in Normal, Illinois. It's the 24th day of November. That's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. For those of you who are members of the associations in the state of Illinois, you might remember that as the Commodities Conference. We're picking up right where that Commodities Conference left off. In fact, the annual meetings will remain in the morning, especially for the corn growers. But we'll pick up with the Farm Assets Conference. Our second year, we're going to take up big data and farm management, farmland prices, runoff and regulation, and of course, commodity prices. Some special guests will be on hand throughout the day. We'll take up data, in fact, with John Jansen, who's the Vice President of Climate Ag Services. You might remember that better as Climate Corp or Monsanto Company, or if you have a field view piece of software. This is the guy who's in charge of some of that. We're going to talk about big data, where it comes from, how it's gathered from your fields, how it's aggregated, who owns it, where it goes, and what happens to it. It's all really important stuff. If you want to learn more about that, you can do that at our Farm Assets Conference. That's the 24th day of November. The tickets are just $30. It's a really good deal in Normal, Illinois, at the Marriott Hotel. If you've not been there, this is a conference center that is one of the best in the state of Illinois, and I do a lot of meetings across Illinois. They do a fantastic job, have a great facility. Come visit with us. We've got a parking deck there, and it'll be open all day for you to come and go just for the $30 price tag for the Farm Assets Conference. Again, you can sign up right now at farmassetsconference.com to get your tickets, or go to willag.org. Either way, there are links from one place to the other to get tickets, and you should do it right now. Coming up next, we'll hear from Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute.
October so far has been warm and dry. The statewide average temperature is about 2 degrees above average. Rainfall amounts at most locations in the state are less than a tenth of an inch. According to the Water Survey Soil Temperature Network, 4-inch soil temperatures under bare ground are slowly cooling and range from the low 50s in the north to the mid to upper 50s in central and southern Illinois. Topsoil moisture has dropped dramatically in the last 4 weeks with the warm temperatures and little rainfall. At times, these conditions, along with high winds and low humidity levels, have produced several field fires. If you're listening to this on Saturday, you're likely seeing your first frost of the season as temperatures drop into the 20s in the northern half of the state and into the low 30s in the southern half on Saturday morning. According to the National Weather Service forecast, highs on Saturday will range from the low 50s in the north to the mid-50s in the south. Sunday morning will be a near repeat of Saturday morning with lows at or slightly below 32 degrees across the state. Highs on Sunday will be in the upper 50s and low 60s. Next week will be a little warmer with highs in the 60s and 70s and lows in the 40s and 50s. The next chance for rain is on Wednesday or Thursday. Looking at next weekend and next week, temperatures are expected to remain above average.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists this week include Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, Michael Cordonier of Soybean and Corn Advisor from Hinsdale.